This is Brother Gino. Once again, it's time for the pastor's study. I want to thank each and every one of you listening today for inviting me into your home or wherever you may be listening to the broadcast today. Today we're going to be in the book of Romans chapter 1 in just a moment. Before we begin, I just want to mention a few things. First of all, any pastor or church that's listening, I wanted to make you aware that Brother Gino is available to preach if you're having a Bible conference or a camp meeting or revival meeting or whatever it may be. If you'd like me to come, I'd be more than happy to come, and I travel on a love offering basis. Before we begin our study today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity, dear Lord, to teach your word today. We thank you that we do have your very words as preserved without error in the King James Bible. Father, we pray that you would bless the lesson today, bless the hearer, and Father, we know that you've promised if your word will go out, that it will not return void. And Father, we pray that you would minister to each listener today in the individual way that they need to be ministered to, Father. And Father, we just thank you for the ministry, the radio ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. We thank you for Pastor Barton and his family. We thank you for those that work faithfully each day at the radio station. I thank you in particular for Sister Shana, Lord, and the blessing she has been to me. I pray you'd bless her and her husband Nicholas in a special way, dear God. And Father, as we meet with you today, you're a mighty God. Meet with us in a mighty way. And if anything's accomplished today, it'll be because of you. And we want to give you all the honor and glory for what you'll choose to do this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks. Amen and amen. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 1 together. Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, which with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse that I'm going to really focus in on this morning and today to be teaching on is verse number 1 in our passage. Now, the Apostle Paul says in the opening verse of his epistle to the believers at Rome, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, in the opening verse, Paul states his position or vocation. Now notice with me how the Apostle Paul puts servant before apostle. You see, my friend, a servant is a position of humility or servitude. Paul tells us that his position in Christ is first and foremost the one of a servant. Paul goes on to say, called to be an apostle. Now, the word apostle means sent one. It was a position of great authority and influence. What is the scriptures trying to show us about having Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, call himself a servant first, and then an apostle second? I believe this. I believe first, to receive your specific calling from God, each Christian has to first become a servant of Jesus Christ. Before God gives you anything specific to do, you must submit to His will for your life and take a position of humility. Let me give you a good illustration right from the Scriptures. Christ Himself. Christ is our greatest example of humility and servitude. We are told in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. He riseth from supper. The He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He riseth from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So here we see an example, as exhibited by the Lord Jesus Christ, of humility and servitude. Now, let's look together in Philippians chapter 2 to see the results of our Lord Jesus Christ being humble and being a servant. Notice, 2 Philippians chapter 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know, even though Jesus Christ was God, now notice what he's going to do, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. So here we have Jesus Christ, who was God, who is God, God manifest in the flesh, becoming a servant in the likeness of man. He was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here we see, he humbled himself, amen, took on the form of a man, the form of a servant. Notice the result. Notice the result. Verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this is the Bible principle that I want you to see. Before God will exalt you, you must first voluntarily humble yourself before Him. In other words, before you can go up, my friend, you must go down. The Scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 and 6, we read, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You know, some may wonder why the Apostle Paul was so successful in the ministry that God called him into. Well, the answer is found at his conversion on the road to Damascus. Paul, right after his conversion, says to the Lord in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In other words, Paul gave God a blank check and allowed the Lord to fill it in. You see, the problem with many Christians is that they have never become a servant of Jesus Christ. Most Christians today, they give you their title in the church. They'll say, I'm the pastor. I'm a deacon. I'm the Sunday school superintendent. I'm the music director. But you very rarely hear them say, as Paul did, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Today, what we want to focus on in particular in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, is that Paul tells the believers at Rome that he was separated unto the gospel of God. By Paul's statement, we can conclude that if Paul was separated unto something, the gospel of God, then he must have been separated from something. In order for a person to make a real change in their life and not just turn over a new leaf or get cleaned up for a while, then they must not only separate from something, but also separate unto something. What Paul said about being separated unto the gospel of God applies to every born-again child of God, and not just the Apostle Paul. My friend, if you are truly saved, then according to the Scriptures, you have been separated unto the gospel of God. Now first, we want to look at what the Christian has been separated from. Separated from. There are some things that you, as a Christian, have been separated from. There are four things that I want to mention under this. We have been separated from our skin or flesh, number one. Our service to sin, number two. Our sentence, number three. And our servitude to Satan, the god of this world, number four. Now let's quickly go over each one of these. The Christian has been separated from our skin or flesh. How do I know that? Well, as everything in these studies, come straight from the scriptures, and I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, in verses 11 through 13. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, here in the passage that we just read, the words of God are telling us this. The moment, the instant, that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, a spiritual circumcision took place. There was an operation that took place inside you. Amen. An operation of God. God was the surgeon. And what happened was this. You know, circumcision is a cutting away. And we know with physical surgery, the doctor uses an instrument to cut with. Amen. Well, in this particular case, the instrument was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that God used. And what happened that day, that moment, that instant, that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sinful flesh, which was stuck to your soul, was cut away. They were separated. So if you can have this picture in your mind, amen. Now, God tells us in the words of God, his words, that you and I are body with three parts, body, soul, and spirit. When you got saved, your spirit was quickened, made alive. The Holy Spirit came to indwell you. Amen. And then your sinful flesh was cut away from your soul. Think of it this way. Amen. Think of a basketball. It has a tube inside of it. The outside of the basketball would be a picture of the flesh. The tube inside is your soul. And then the air would be the spirit. Now, before you were saved, you would be like a deflated basketball. Amen? Then you were quickened, made alive, the Spirit filled up that basketball. Amen. And we see the inner tube is no longer stuck to the outside. Amen. See, now your soul is in between the Spirit, which is born again, and the unsaved flesh. Amen. You see, the soul is the real you. We see in the Bible, we don't have time today, but a soul has a bodily shape. It has all its five senses. That's what spends time in eternity, in either heaven or hell, is that soul. So we see that you were separated from your skin or your sinful flesh. Also, you were separated from your service to sin. Look with me in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 with me. First verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We've been crucified with Christ. Amen. Our sins, amen, our sinful body was, in our sins, were nailed to that cross. So as a result, we no longer should be servants to sin. We should no longer serve sin. Looking in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And that's the gospel, that form of doctrine that was delivered to them. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. See, because of our salvation, amen, we have been separated from service to sin, and now we are no longer servants of unrighteousness, but servants of righteousness. We no longer have to yield to sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've been freed. Amen. So you've seen we've been separated from our skin or our flesh, our service to sin. Thirdly, our sentence. Well, our sentence says in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. And of course, here I'm talking about a spiritual death, a death where you'll end up in the lake of fire. Your soul, which is eternal, will end up in a lake of fire. And we've been separated from that because of our salvation. Looking in Revelations chapter 20 here. Revelations chapter 20. Revelations 20, verse 14. This is your sentence before you were saved. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. See, that's, it says in verse 15 of Romans 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That was your sentence. That was your condemnation awaiting you. But you've been separated from that sentence. Amen. You're no longer under the wrath of God, no longer under his condemnation. You will no longer face that second death, that lake of fire. Praise God, hallelujah for that. So, we see, as Christians, we've been separated from our skin or our flesh, our servitude to sin, our sentence, and then number four, our servitude to Satan, the god of this world. Amen. Let's turn first to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 with me, in verse number 4. Who is Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. according to the will of God and our Father. So Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us or separate us from this evil world. Amen. From our servitude to Satan, who is the god of this world. Amen. We're separated. We're to be separated from the servitude to Satan. Look in 2 Corinthians. Christians are, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Christians are to be a separated people. Amen. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not to love the things of the world because the love of the Father is not in this world. Here's what we're commanded. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 14 down through the end of the chapter. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, he says, are the temple of the living God, you and I. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And what he presents here, Paul mentions some things. You know, we're not to be yoked up with unbelievers. We're not to be yoked up with the world. Amen. We're not to have be agreement with the world, agreement with the children of the devil. Amen. We're to be separate. Amen. And then he says in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, amen, the world, the unsaved, the wicked, the non-believer, the unrighteous, the dark, the children of darkness. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Amen. See, you're the temple of the living God, and we're not to touch the unclean thing, which is the world, which is the unrighteous. Amen. We're not to have agreement, amen, with the non-believers. We're not to be ecumenical, amen, ecumenical councils, ecumenical meetings, so forth and so on, are of the devil. Come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So as Christians, you and I have been separated from our skin, our flesh, our sinful skin or flesh, our service to sin, our sentence, and our servitude to Satan, the god of this world. That's the first part of our study on separated unto, because we're quickly running out of time today. And when we meet again on the pastor study next time, we'll conclude Separated Unto, our study entitled Separated Unto. Again, it's been an honor and privilege to be able to come into your homes today or wherever you're listening. I want to thank those who listen faithfully to me each Sunday. Amen. And for new listeners too. And again, as I mentioned, every one of these studies is available on audio cassette tape. I have a free tape catalog that lists all the studies since we've been on the air for 6 years now. The young lady at the end of the broadcast will tell you how you can contact me. Until we meet again, this is Brother Gino. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.